I want to thank our musicians today for leading us in worship with the music and words of Felix Mendelssohn. For those of you who do not know the history of Felix Mendelssohn, he grew up a Jewish young man, but his family converted to Christianity, and so he carries with him in his own pattern of growth and living both the Old Testament Jewish tradition and the New Testament pattern of being a Christian. So all of his music is permeated with his discipleship of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 28, what is commonly referred to as the Great Commission. It is the mission of every church that ever exists in the name of Jesus. This is the Word of God. Jesus came to the disciples and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. We are grateful for this word that you speak to us now, Lord God, in Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. May these words be transformed into your life pattern as we seek to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us here and around the world. Be with us now and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a teenager, I was taking piano lessons with a woman by the name of Mrs. Peterson. It was not too long after the time that Van Cliburn had won the Tchaikovsky competition. Van Cliburn being a tall, lanky guy of about 6'6", I had become about 6'6", and believe it or not, was tall and lanky at that point in time. And I looked a little bit like Van Cliburn. I even had the curly blonde hair. And Mrs. Peterson began to give me an image of myself as a pianist after the pattern of Van Cliburn and began to train me to do that. I know that's a little hard to imagine, and even as I remember it, I can't even believe that that's what was happening. Discipleship is like that. Discipleship is learning a pattern of life that is being developed by in a person alongside of other people who see a vision for them and want to train them and guide them into a future that's defined clearly in a model. And that model is Jesus, the Christ. Now, this past week, we have heard much about Gerald Ford. And one of the things that has become clear to all who have listened is that he was a man of character and integrity at a time that we needed it. He was both a good player on the football team and a good coach on the football team. He was at the center of things. He was one who touched the ball on every play, but he gave it to other people to learn how to use it. And that is the nature of discipleship. You are a disciple if you've declared your faith in Jesus Christ. You are responsible to carry the ball. But you are also a person who's given the Great Commission to turn and make disciples of other people, to pass the ball to them. You are both a player and a coach. This is the pattern that our church is committing ourselves to in the months and years to come. It is, in fact, to make disciples. It is to be disciples and to go and intentionally create the arenas in which other people can grow and flourish in the presence of Jesus Christ. It is not an option. If you declare yourself to be a follower of Jesus, Jesus has given you this great commission. Go and make other disciples. Make them nearby with the people that you know and make them at a distance with the people you do not yet know. But it's an intentionality about following Jesus. There is a temptation in our culture, in the Christian culture particularly, to believe that I can be a Christian without being a disciple. That somehow I can come and participate in worship, and I can listen to the wonderful sermons, and I can participate in grace-filled worship, but I don't have to do anything with my faith. That is not being a Christian. You are not a Christian until you go out and practice your faith. Faith without action is dead. And the responsibility of turning that faith into an action that helps other people become disciples is absolutely crucial to the mission of who Jesus is and the mission of this church. We have said for many years that our mission in this particular congregation is to be a ministry of grace and passionate about Christ's mission in the world. And I believe that to be true, but I believe that there's a missing link in the middle of that statement. To be a ministry of grace is to receive God's grace in our lives and to be touched by that grace in such a way that we desire to follow Jesus Christ. And we become passionate about Christ's mission in the world, but not because we're passively listening to things or watching things happen. We become passionate because we participate in what is happening. And so the missing link has to do with this whole process that Jesus took his disciples through to make them disciples. He touched them with grace, and he gave them a mission at the end of Matthew, but there is a huge part of Matthew in the middle of that which says Jesus made disciples. And at the end, Jesus expected his disciples to go and do likewise. So the book of Matthew, for example, is really a discipleship manual of people who are being invited to follow Jesus, trained how to do it, and at the end, invited to go and train other people to follow Jesus. It is a player sport. It is not just for people in the crowd to watch. Now, not everybody wants to participate, and that is true of the games that we watch in our day and age. But faith is a participatory process. Now, in our new year, we are launching into a process at National Presbyterian Church of trying to take this on intentionally. What does it mean to actually put the mission into practice to go and make disciples? We have, in our strategic plan, by the grace of God and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, said that we are called as a church to cultivate and grow committed followers of Jesus Christ. That means we all are committing ourselves to that experience of life. To do that, we must first be a disciple in order to make disciples. And so in that strategic sense, for the new year, we are venturing out as missionaries, the ones who do the mission of Christ, to accomplish disciple-making. Now, in the Jewish tradition, it was the pattern of the rabbi to take on the figure, the metaphor of a yoke. It's like the example of an ox that has a yoke on the ox in order to pull a wagon or a plow. It is the responsibility of the rabbi to pull along people who want to be and become disciples. But the rabbis didn't just do that with anybody. There was a whole process of how people learned the faith and grew up in order to get the attention of specific rabbis, and the rabbis only took on the best and the elite, the best of the best. In order to follow a rabbi in the time of Jesus, you had to be in the top 0.1% of your class of learning. If you were there in the best of the best, you might get the attention of a rabbi, and that rabbi would say, "Come and follow me, and I will teach you everything I know." The rabbi would not teach just by telling. The rabbi would teach by walking with the people through every aspect of life, through all issues of the day, so that there was always a conversation between the student and the rabbi about what was good and what was not. Now, Jesus changes that a bit when he calls his disciples. Jesus looks out for people on the Sea of Galilee who are fishing. And this essentially means, in the pattern of the rabbis, that these were the people who didn't make the cut. They weren't the best of the best. These were the vocational people that had dropped out of school. And what Jesus does is he goes and he calls the ordinary men and women, the ones who didn't make the cut, to be followers. Jesus is saying to us, if I can make followers of these ordinary people, then God can make followers of anybody. Do not think for one moment that being a disciple is about being the elite. It's not. It is about being the one who is chosen as an ordinary human being to become great because you're following a great leader. And so the yoke of Jesus is not one for the best of the best. It's the yoke of one who is for the ordinary people. Each and every one of us can follow Jesus Christ and be a disciple and make disciples. How did Jesus do this? Jesus did it by inviting people to be with him, to walk with him on a daily basis so that they could be in conversation. One of the key patterns of Jesus was to be able to ask questions and to observe what was going on in life so he could always draw attention to life in regard to faith. It is that conversation that happens on the way of life where there is a guide and people who are listening and they are in conversation, debate, and discussion all the time about what it means to be a person of faith. Discipleship is not just about telling people what to do or giving them good information. For too long a time in the United States, we have reduced education to information, and that is really poor education. Let me say that again. We have reduced education to information, and that is really poor education. Jesus would have never done that. Education is about the whole person engaging the whole environment with all of the knowledge that they can gather about life and putting it into practice. And so Jesus, like Paul, took people along and taught them everything that he knew what to say to them about the issues of life as they were walking and living in life. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul did with Timothy. He told Timothy one time that you need to take the things that I have told you and tell other people so that they can teach others. The transference of the pattern of discipleship life from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And it is up to each and every follower of Jesus to do this. We've seen throughout Scripture from the very beginning the command to be fruitful and multiply. In the Old Testament, this means to create human beings. And the creation of human beings in the sight of God is to create a child of God. A child that is born to you and to me is not your child and my child. It's God's child under our care. In the same way, Jesus began to take that one step further and said, you must be born again, and you must grow to the point where you become a mature disciple. A person is not just born into the kingdom, but grows to maturity in the kingdom of God. That discipleship takes you all the way to completion. And so be fruitful and multiply doesn't just have to do with creating human beings. It has to do with creating mature followers of Jesus Christ who are full children of God. How did Jesus do this? Jesus did this by putting people into community with him. There is no such thing as a lone disciple. Disciples only exist and grow in community. They don't exist and grow in crowds. You cannot be a disciple and hang out or hide in the crowd. You must come out of the crowd and you must come close to Jesus in the context of a small community and walk together in order to grow. This is the reason why in this coming months and years we will invest heavily in small communities of growth. We will call you out of the crowd and get you involved in a group of people where you can share life together and you can walk together and you can learn together. You can talk and debate. You can discuss, ask questions, and you can challenge one another to growth in Jesus Christ. None of us should be without a community of support and encouragement to grow. None. Now you say, oh, I want to come to church and be anonymous. I want to be invisible. That's okay for a while. Enjoy that invisibility. But at some point, if you want to be serious about your faith, you must become visible in a community of people that you grow with. And so we will commit ourselves to that kind of calling out, to invite you to join with others in community. Now, there's a natural way that this happens on a regular basis. In fact, there are several natural ways it happens. One of the ways it happens is that people grow up in families. God gives children to parents who are disciples. And parents have the opportunity and privilege and responsibility to disciple their children on the way of life. Discipleship is not just about giving them information about the Bible. That's just a little piece of it. It's about living with them day after day after day and guiding them to intelligent, helpful, wise decisions with grace and care. It's the same with other disciples. It only happens when we're in families, small groups, and teams. Wherever two or three are gathered, Jesus said, I am with them and I will help them to learn how to discern between things that should be bound and loosed, things that should be permitted and not permitted. Jesus discipled people in small groups. Now, I know that term, small group, tends to strike terror in the hearts of some people. And if it does strike terror in your heart, because you have an image of a small group that is the manipulating and controlling or intimidating or nosy kind of people, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being with a group of people that you choose to gather, that you choose to engage, that helps you in your faith to grow and you help other people to grow. And so in Jesus Christ, He does this on the journey. He takes the group on the way. And on the way of life, as they talk and they wrestle with things, as they ask questions, as they fail and as they succeed, Jesus teaches them about life. This is what we want to do in this congregation. We are starting a whole new small group ministry called Church Without Walls, WOW Groups. And it's simply a call and invitation for you to be with a few people, two or three others at minimum, that you can walk through life with and talk about faith and have those people challenge you in your faith. There are three key ingredients to that. One is that there is a commitment to see Jesus at the center in Scripture as the truth. There is a centerpiece for who you want to become. Jesus is the Van Cliburn of your life, except greater. And on that way, there's an invitation for you to put your life on the line for vulnerability purposes. There really is no way to grow without taking some personal risk. And the third aspect of it has to do with accountability. That along the way, there are others that you give permission to hold you to the commitments that you make in order to grow. Not some control or imprisonment or captivity model, but some model that helps you to take another step in the right direction. The 12 steps have shown us over and over again that these three things are important. Commitment to a higher power, vulnerability and accountability. And our higher power is Jesus the Christ. So today, as we look into 2007, as we seek to live into our call to do what God has called us to do as mission, we will commit ourselves to making disciples of one another and of those around us, of our children and those beyond us. And each and every one of us will begin to wrestle with making that commitment to be a disciple and to make disciples. Remember this. Jesus said that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. We are not asking each other to do something that's impossible to do. Jesus did it with ordinary men and women. I don't think National Presbyterian Church is made up of ordinary men and women. I actually think that we have to face the reality that much of our church is made up of extraordinary men and women. So if ordinary people can do it, you bet that extraordinary people can do it. Jesus' yoke is easy. He is the rabbi that invites you to come and follow so that you will be able to invite others to come and follow Him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in these days and months and years to come, give us the courage and the power of Your Holy Spirit to fulfill your great commission to be disciples and to make disciples. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.